Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This is a special show. So for those of you who are listening that have been kind of waiting with bated breath to hear my tribute to John McCain, then this is the show, and you have been lucky to tune in. However, if you happen to be a snowflake, you melt easily, you have a high sensitivity and so forth, I'm not going to be letting, you know, any expletives fly here, but I'm going to give you my unabashed perspective on Mr. McCain. Anyway, or as I like to call him, John. The show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that provides the constitutional process in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. So with that, the number to call in, if you're so inclined, and the phones are working, other than the fact that we have some ghosts in the system. So I see a lot of phantom calls up there. But anyway, we've got to get that fixed because it kind of throws you off. But anywho, the number to call in is 215-867-8255. And that would be 215-TALK, T-O-P, TALK, T-A-L-K. And since it's baseball season, it's kind of like balk. Anyway, the show has been dedicated, and its focus is in supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny, because when they do, that means that they are protecting all of us from federal tyranny. That is why I plead with you, and I beg with you, to please support those two candidates that actually need some help. That would be Chad Christensen and Marty Halverson. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, go to the candidate's endorsement page. The links are on the right-hand side of the page. Just click on candidate endorsements. You will see Marty Halverson, a link to her campaign page. Go there and make a generous contribution of whatever your generosity level is today. And that's the same thing with Chad Christensen. There is not a lot of time. There are a lot of things riding on this election, and more people are really more concerned about what's going on in D.C. I'm kind of more of the mind model that we are heading for a collision, just like that train metaphor I keep on repeating. But there is a collision with our federal government and with what I think the globalists are calling destiny in getting us to cave or capitulate so that they can force us into disbanding the Constitution and moving us into a global government. The only hope we have is infiltrating, and not infiltrating, I don't want to use that word, but that's probably the best word, in actually penetrating into the state legislators the concept of auditing their contract and taking control of their contract once again. The concept of this actually came from Thomas Jefferson in the 1780s. And I'm actually going to get into that Federalist paper next. So this is a very special show because that Federalist paper number 49 is probably the least understood Federalist paper, because people on both the conventionite side and the anti-conventionite side do not understand what they were talking about or the details of what Jefferson was trying to do, because they completely missed it and what he ended up doing in 1798 with the concept of the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. So with that, let me kind of also point out that I'm also trying to support, we're also dedicated in supporting those grassroots leaders out there. And those grassroots leaders would be the GOP and those who are out trying to promote the Constitution within their county and so forth. So, in other words, what we're really trying to do is supporting those who are committed to protecting all of us from federal tyranny, and that's really the bottom line. I want to also point out that we have a GoFundMe set up, and that is on obviously the GoFundMe page. We have a crowdfunding, I should say. But if you go to GoFundMe and you just search for Reclaiming the Republic, voila, you'll find it. It'll be right there. And you're more than welcome to contribute. My focus really at this point in time between now and the election, if you just got a few dollars every payday, throw it to the candidates. We need to get those candidates into the 2019 session so that we can actually have the conversation. I'm telling you right now, Chad Christensen is really facing a lot of heat because the rhino that he unseated is actually, you know, pursuing all sorts of endorsements and trying to get himself into a write-in campaign. That should not be happening. He basically lost in the primary, and it was a close race. I'm telling you, it was literally by 2% or something like that. That's what he lost by. But he lost nonetheless. And so he's not going away quietly. He really wants to try to, you know, maintain his seat at this altar. He's a Republican who's been throwing the Constitution under the bus. I would love to probably talk to him because bottom line, he has been supporting unconstitutional government being piped into Idaho, and Chad is the antithesis of that. He wants to support and enforce the Constitution. So at this point, you know, I could easily be saying, yes, if you want to send us some money, by all means, contribute. I would ask if you don't have that kind of money that you're, you know, I've only got a few bucks, throw it to Chad, throw it to Marty Halverson. Those two have to get across the finish line. This GoFundMe effort will be going for a long time. It is not a short. If you go look at the amount, go look at the campaign. This is a long-term campaign. We are here to win. We're here, just like Washington, to actually overturn the communists and their entrenchments within our government so that we can actually return to a constitutional republic. That's what this is all about. That's literally what it's all about. Getting the communists out of our lives and out of our government. And so with that, I think this is a pretty apropos time to do a little groveling. I definitely need your support. Other organizations need your support. If you're not involved, get your butt involved. Forgive me for being so brass. I actually believe that everybody should be contributing or you have no position to complain. There are all sorts of ways. You can either join the PO, your central committee by becoming a PCO, that's what I was looking for, the PCO, or you can get online and join the Constitution Club. That's a great organization. They're going to be pushing the 17th Amendment, or I should say the rescinding of the 17th Amendment. If you don't know what I'm talking about, check out the podcast. Those are on reclaimingtherepublic.org. But if you want to help this effort specifically, you've got a computer, you've got a phone, those are the resources that I need. All you've got to do is email me info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And with that, I will give you the obligatory view of the news as I look through. And there's some kind of interesting things that are going on in the news. Supposedly, Mexico is going to be stopping that caravan of illegals that are heading this way to compromise us even more. And I'll believe that when I see it. I know that there's this talk and there's these reports out there, but until we actually see that those people don't even show up, then okay, then I'll believe that. But going through the news, as I have done so many times before this show, there is no sign that the federal government is going to relinquish any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so what that means, folks, is if they're not going to do it and we're going to save our constitutional republic, that means that we have to do it. That means that we have to actually take action. We have to get all in the game, whether that be a financial in, whether that be taking some time, whether that be actually getting involved in your grassroots organizations. We all have to be in. I'm not asking people to go up in the front line and take shots from Antifa or any type of evil doers. What I am asking is that we all do our patriotic and our civic responsibility and duty by actually standing up to this unconstitutional government and standing up to the communists blatantly. They're trying to take over. If you don't think it's blatant, and that means that you have not read the Democratic National Platform. Go to the DNC webpage and read their platform. That is the Communist Manifesto planks, literally on steroids, period. So I just beg that you get informed, get involved, because that's what we have to do. It is something that is not just going to happen on its own. And so let me give you something to think about, because again, like I said, I wanted to dedicate this show, or at least dedicate some time, to remembering John McCain, because I want the truth to be remembered about John McCain, not this, you know, he was a maverick. I don't know what the heck that means. Supposedly a maverick is one that turns on their own. And if that's John McCain, then yeah, he was a maverick's maverick, because he definitely turned on his own. He turned on his own people. He turned on his own fellow warriors in Vietnam. Everybody in his whole life he turned on. He even turned on his family, and I don't know why, but they still stuck by him for whatever reason. Obviously, there may have been some incentives, whether that be money or what have you. I don't know, but I believe he turned on, and there's all sorts of allegations, and if you really do the research on it, you go, wow, how did this guy continue to get elected? He would have been easy meat for the Democrats to pick off and replace so many times. I mean, if you really do the research, you will find that the reason the Democrats actually were hands off with him is because he was working for them and they had a guaranteed position in the Republican Party. So with that, I'm at a hard break, so I'm going to be right back after word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned and you will get the unabashed truth, at least GR's version. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so I guess I could call it unabashed or unvarnished, whichever you prefer. But one of the things that I think most people kind of know, the John McCain, or John, he grew up in exclusive boarding schools. So it's not like he went to the public indoctrination centers that most of us had gone through, like G. Edward Griffin, myself, and so forth. Most of the people I know. But in putting it into context, apparently he had a lot of emotional outbursts. But, you know, that's what these boarding schools, because it was a boarding school. It's not like he was, you know, he was staying at home and then just being, you know, taken to a private school, like a lot of people do. His folks actually had him at a boarding school where, you know, the staffers and the school itself was reimbursed and or paid very well for his emotional outburst. And that's one thing that I believe we all can actually acknowledge. That's something John never grew out of, because you could actually see, even in this last year, where he had emotional outbursts, where he was basically, you know, trashing Trump and what I will call good Republican ideals, where he actually became the supporter of collectivism and the supporter of communism. Because if you look at the things he authored, and we're going to get into that, there's no doubt in my mind, this guy was on the dark side. He was not on the good side. But with that, if you didn't know, his father was a naval admiral. And just to, you know, make it even more interesting, his grandfather was a naval admiral as well. Now, you can't tell me that this didn't put some pressure on John when he went into the Navy, or better yet, you can't tell me that there wasn't pressure on the Navy to taking John, because I don't think he was really Navy material. As a matter of fact, I believe in 1958, he managed to graduate 894 out of 899. So he was literally just five from the very bottom of the class. Okay, so I'm not saying that he wasn't a bright bulb, but for some reason, his performance in, you know, the academy just wasn't what it should have been. And in addition to his naval career, I mean, everybody knows that he was a prisoner of war. That's no doubt. But a lot of people don't know, because a lot of those records were sealed. And as a matter of fact, even his prison records were sealed at his request, and maintaining those. And he just maintained a long, hard, tight grip. I would love to have Trump actually have, I think Trump needs to reveal all of those things, because they haven't been revealed. Those things were kind of released down in the Clinton era. And so anyway, if you didn't know this, though, I think you'll find this interesting, that he actually lost, or under his usage, he actually destroyed three aircraft. And so some of those were in a routine process, like flying, and in a non-combat routine process. So he may have been, obviously, he was shot down in one. But I think the one that you didn't know about is kind of horrendous. But the fact of the matter is that the Navy, you know, probably wanted to dismiss him. There's no evidence of this, but one would have to assume that after you've lost a couple of these aircraft, especially in this incident, that what ended up happening was naval history. I'll just put it that way without telling you all the details first. When you look at how John had lost one of his aircrafts, he was flying an A-4, and that was the aircraft that the Blue Angels flew in the 60s and 70s, and it was a nice aircraft. Very, very manageable. It was a good maneuvering aircraft, and so that's why the Blue Angels flew it. Well, anyway, one of the things that was a common thing done by, you know, cockpit jockeys, you know, kind of just show off, what they would do is a wet fuel start, or what they call a cook-off. And so apparently there was an F4 on his tail that he, you know, wanted to show off in front of, and so he did a wet fuel takeoff, or a cook-off. But what ended up happening in the cook-off performed by John was it ended up launching an M-34 Zuni rocket that tore through the Skyhawk's fuel tank, released thousands of pounds of fuel. It also released a 1,000-pound bomb, and it ignited a fire that killed the pilot plus 167 men. Before the tally of the dead and dying was complete, the son and grandson of admirals had been transferred to the U.S. Orkanisky, Oriskany, Oriskany, that's what it is. See, I'm really bad with names. Anyway, That actual incident actually goes down in history as the Navy's worst fire on ship ever, still to this day. Now, there's an author and biographer, and actually the guy's name is Robert Timberg, had detailed several of McCain's relationships, intimate relationships with subordinates when he was serving as a squadron leader and an executive officer. And apparently he was, those types of things were also buried as well. And there was another investigator, the guy's name is Jack McLam, who also kind of investigated John McCain. And basically what he got as a commonality as far as responses from his fellow prisoners while John was in Hanoi Hilton, he was never tortured, and the Vietnamese communists called him the Songbird, and that was his code name, Songbird McCain, because he just came into the camp singing and telling them everything they wanted to know. So I'm not sure if you heard that, but I've actually heard the Songbird story quite a bit. But I think this is really important to understand that it wasn't like McCain was the man of metal that never broke or what have you. And as a matter of fact, I've been through SEER school. I spent a little bit of time in the intelligence community. And when you go through, you know, those types of interrogations, and I deployed with interrogators, and the bottom line is they know you're going to break. They know that at one point in time you're going to break. But if you can kind of control your break, then you can kind of avoid giving the enemy way too much information. And so one of the interesting things is that in the interviews, every single one of his fellow prisoners considered McCain a traitor. Every single one of them. And yet America has been told he's this big hero. Now, let me back up a quick second here. I just want you to understand, I don't believe that because I was in the Marine Corps and I donned that uniform for 1 minute, I was a hero. There may have been times when I did above and beyond. There may have been times that I may have done, you know, something more than what was called for in the job. But I never considered that a hero. That doesn't mean hero status. I mean, when somebody literally dives on a grenade and saves his fellow Marines or what have you, and you're smart enough to put a helmet on the ball, or I should say on the grenade or what have you, then okay. Then, you know, that's a hero. That's really risking your life. I don't believe, and we got to quit marginalizing heroes. When I see somebody that's not getting paid to do the job, I mean, it's one thing to be an EOD specialist. And you know what? The hazardous duty that those guys get isn't really worth it, but it is something. In other words, it's an incentive. And the bonuses that those guys get in, you know, re-enlisting and so forth, they're incentivized somewhat. But you have to understand that just being in the service and wearing a uniform does not make that person a hero. At least this is my definition of a hero. And I think America's definition of a hero is almost anybody that's willing to, you know, put their clothes on and walk out the front door, almost. And we need to stop marginalizing that. If somebody can give me some real tangible evidence of how Mr. McCain or John was able to go above and beyond in risking his own life, you know, and risking everything for saving the lives of others or doing something, then okay, let's put the evidence on the table. But let's quit marginalizing heroes. I think there's law enforcement officers that are heroes, and then some of them are, you know, they let the authority go to their head. Let's just say that. How's that? Firemen are the same way, EMTs. I mean, there's all sorts of first responders that, you know, have a point in opportunity, you know, like that shooting in Florida last year, or earlier this year, actually. You know, when that sheriff decided not to go in that door, he did not qualify as a hero, but he was wearing the uniform. What most people would say, hey, anybody wearing that uniform is a hero. No. There are standards to calling somebody a hero, and we got to get back to that. Heroes actually have to mean something again instead of everybody gets a star, okay? And so, as I said, every prisoner that knew McCain in Hanoi Hilton, they all considered him a traitor. the ranking GRU officer, and a GRU officer is a KGB officer operative that was actually there doing interpretations and so forth at Hanoi Hilton, had a multilingual teenage son who was tasked with the translating all interrogation reports into Russian. And he would have became known, or if you look through the annals of, you know, all of these records and so forth, he was known as T. In other words, he just had a code name, or that's all they knew him as, was Mr. T. And so I'm at a hard break, but I have more information regarding Mr. McCain or John. When we get back, I will give it to you, and hopefully we can wrap this up and I can get into some actually relevant Federalist Papers that I'm sure you're really foaming at the mouth for. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So apparently, according to T, this gentleman or son of a ranking GRU officer who's translating all of these interrogation reports into Russian, accordingly, he was stating that while McCain was in prison from December 69 to March 73, it was very common that John was released out of prison so that he could go and have privileges afforded him and spend time in a furnished apartment in Hanoi. It was furnished with both, you know, furniture, you know, the nice settings of home, as well as a couple prostitutes. And so McCain would attribute his absences from confinement to the population as times he was spending in solitary confinement. Now, the fact is that most all of these records are steel sealed that can actually attribute to the, you know, because there's some of these are alleged, but this is what Mr. McLam had come up with in his interrogations and investigations on John. And as a matter of fact, all these records came into our hands after the meltdown and after the basic diffusion of Russia and communism of Russia. Remember Reagan break down that wall? Well, there were a lot of documents that were exchanged back and forth in the 90s. And that's how we found out that Teddy Roosevelt was running information to Russia as well underneath Reagan's nose. You know, another guy that we've kind of treated as a hero. And anyway, let me just move on with McCain. T never saw, by the way, any documentation on McCain ever being offered or getting an early release from prison. He never saw any documentation. So if there was a real thing that was coming, he didn't know about it. Now, in getting into McCain's life as a senator, one of, I think everybody knows this, but I don't think people understood the magnitude of this, because McCain was not a supporter of the Constitution. This campaign finance reform bill that he, McCain, and Feingold worked out and got passed was an obvious attack on the First Amendment. It outlawed the most protected of free speech, which is political dissent. And so Bush signed that, and Bush literally came on the record of saying, well, I don't think this is going to really cut the mustard, but I'm just going to. In other words, that's what a crappy President Bush was. He forced the Supreme Court to actually rule and knock it down instead of doing his job and vetoing it. That's why I'm not a big fan of the Bushes either. I'm not a big fan of communists and those who are undermining our constitutional republic. So McCain sponsored an amendment in addition to a Senate bill. It was called Senate Bill 1805 that would have outlawed private gun sales. Now, this was in 2012. And what McCain did in the finance, obviously Bush was president back then with the finance reform bill. But in 2012, McCain also sponsored an amendment to this bill, this Senate Bill 1805, that would have outlawed private gun sales at shows and events. As a career politician and longtime member of the Council of Foreign Relations, McCain is also a huge one-worlder and a senior insider. There's, if you haven't seen the videos of him working with those bad guys in Syria, he has not been a staunch supporter of our liberties and our freedoms. As I said, he is an elitist, literally. It is also worth noting that McCain himself had taken money from Soros and Soros organizations. He actually took money from Soros. Like I said, though, that that 2012 Senate Armed Services bill that came out in that 1805 bill, what that was literally going to do was that was actually going to allow the military to detain U.S. citizens with hostilities or what have you. And so literally that bill actually put President Obama on the spot. The bill in part called for allowing the indefinite, not just the detention, but indefinite detention of Americans without the due process, period. How would you like that? I mean, this is here in America. This literally flies in the face of our founding principles. Anyway, after that bill got passed and signed, Obama ended up capitulating and actually reversing that after he signed that, because everybody was kind of freaking out about it. In section 1021 of this, and let me get it right here, because the NDAA stands for National Defense Authorization Act, okay? So the section 1021 of that act allowed, like I said, it allowed the military to detain U.S. citizens, and they could hold them while hostilities against, and this is a quote out of it, hostilities against the U.S. or coalition partners without trial until the end of hostilities. In other words, be shipped off to these FEMA camps. If you want to understand where people were getting these concepts of FEMA camps and that the Americans would be literally prisoners in their own country, there you go. And McCain was the author of that. What a hero. Anyway, Section 1022 expressly stated that the military would imprison anyone who is a member of Al-Qaeda or an associated force that acts like Al-Qaeda or anyone who planned or carried out an attack or attempted attack against the U.S. It also continues that detaining American citizens is not required as U.S. citizens. The requirement to detain a person in military custody under this section does not extend to citizens of the United States. And so that, I believe, is what Obama ended up doing, because the bottom line is that after Obama took the heat, he basically rescinded in an executive order that whole section of 1022 not applying to Americans. But the problem I had with this whole thing is, what about Section 1021, where the U.S. military was able to indefinitely detain U.S. citizens while these hostilities would continue? How do they define hostilities? Those are real troubling questions. And as far as I'm concerned, with the trampling on the First Amendment of speech, especially dissent, political dissent, and especially being able to just detain people, those things just fly in the face of, like I said, of our founding principles. And McCain was the author of those things. Why is it that he was heralded by the mainstream media, the secular progressives, and the Democrats? Why? Bottom line, John was a spoiled elitist who had no business in public service. That's it. He was an embarrassment to the Republican label, and he was an embarrassment to our nation's founding principles, as well as our historical, our mores, the things that we valued as a society, such as liberty, freedom, the ability to be able to speak your mind and so forth. Apparently, those things only applied to him, but when it came to the rest of us, we weren't going to be afforded those types of liberties. And like I said, to date, you can do the research on it, that fire that he caused when he cooked off trying to, you know, harass that F-4 pilot behind him, ended up becoming the Navy's worst fire incident to date in the Navy. I don't revel in anybody's passing. I don't revel in anybody's pain. But I will tell you that John McCain, wasn't worthy of the electorates of those who were voting for him and the good citizens of Arizona. And I have to wonder why he was allowed to continue. Why wasn't all of this stuff exposed? Even in the presidential run, it wasn't exposed. This, to me, lends to the concept that both sides, we had a rigged system, that both sides, didn't matter who won, whether John or Barack won, they knew that they had what they needed in the tank, because they were going to get whatever needed to be done. I will tell you, we probably would have had a far worse despot if John McCain would have won that election. Because you can tell he had zero tolerance for anybody. You could tell he had a temper. I mean, all you got to do is just do a little bit of research on John, and you'll find that he had a history of outbursts. And the way he acted with visceral and disdain when he did his thumbs down against getting rid of Obamacare, he threw America under the bus. We had an opportunity, and it had to come up to him. Let it be on him. And you know, I hope that we can heal as a republic and as a nation moving forward, that I'm hoping that we never again in the Republican Party ever get a politician that is in the likes of John McCain ever to serve again with that R on their lapel. Because that is not what I would consider a compliment nor a good thing for America nor our liberties and our Constitution. And so I can see I've just literally hit a hard break. There it is. That's my feelings on John McCain. I didn't want to say that, and I held my tongue for a long time, but the guy's not a hero. He's not a hero to me. And I know lots of people that just despise the guy. He should never have been in service, but there you go. let's move forward. And when we come back, I've got a few newsworthy items and we'll have Federalist Paper 49 in queue. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Now, I know that probably a week, maybe a little over a week ago, I talked about a computer company called Supermicro. And actually, I think the world of that product, because Supermicro actually provide, if you want a computer that will outlast your desire to ever have a high-performing computer, because I still have my 2006 computer that I got was a Supermicro, and that thing still outperforms even some of the new generic desktops that you buy. Of course, it was a server, but it was a very cheap server in comparison to the desktops that I was buying at the time. I mean, the thing smokes, and it still it just still keeps going along as a champion. Anyway, if you remember, I was talking that there was a Bloomberg article that talked about Chinese spies managed to implant tiny little chips on the motherboards of these Supermicro computers. Now, these were very unique computers because these were server boards that were being used in cloud computing. I'm going to tell you that the entire Amazon Web Services is on Supermicro computers. I will probably even not even go out on a limb. I'm going to tell you right now that Tim Cook and Apple has been using the Supermicro computers as well for their cloud. All of these high-tech companies that have been targeted. Now, again, Tim Cook, the reason this bubbled up in the news is Tim Cook is asking Bloomberg to recant or take back that assertion that they have been infiltrated with these chips with Chinese spies and everything else. Now, I want you to just understand the magnitude of this. We've got all these cloud computing centers, right? Think of how many servers are out there that we've come to the age of cloud computing, and there's just enough sitting out there that the entire government is riding in the Amazon Web Services. From classified to unclassified. There are some programs that are still kicking and fighting not to go in there, but I will tell you that there is way too much. It's like putting all of your eggs in one basket, but the important part of this is the fact that what would the cost be if they had to replace all of those? And so this almost goes down to, you know, a huge multi-billion dollar catastrophic problem, because all of these computers in these clouds are supporting all different types of, you know, companies, different efforts. But Amazon itself is the mothership for the government. I mean, the government keeps, that is their preferred cloud provider. It is actually their exclusive, let's say that, the exclusive cloud provider. So with that, I find it interesting. And as I've been telling people, if you have a small business, if you have a business, I would highly recommend not having a cloud or going into the cloud services that everybody's trying to push you into. You're always going to be better off controlling and maintaining your data locally and, you know, taking your lumps, getting, you know, get your own firewall, get your own security and so forth. But I'm telling you that the clouds were compromised before they were even built, if that article is true. And I will, if you go back to the 90s, you know, we started being infiltrated by all of these Chinese spies because of the Clintons. Go read the timeline of how Clinton was selling out America so that he could get money infused into his reelection campaign. As soon as he got elected, he created this thing in the White House called the War Room. There's nice little videos on that stuff. We were sold out, and that's why China is so deeply entrenched in America as our spies and literally working against us. Anyway, the next thing I was going to tell you, if you're a person that doesn't like to buy products that supports the leftist secular progressives, and maybe you're an outdoor kind of person, Patagonia is one that is literally out there supporting these communists. From John Tester in Montana, as well as in Nevada, Senator Dean Heller. What I will tell you is that Patagonia is actually, my mistake, I think it's Representative Jackie Rosen, who is running as a challenger to Dean Heller. So they're supporting two Democrats. And they're literally coming right out and saying, we want the communist agenda in America. And I don't understand why companies and businesses that... they don't understand, apparently, that when we finally go into communism, everything becomes nationalized and they're no longer going to be living the elite status. And those people that aren't a part of the top level, usually those are the ones that they line up and kill. Go do your research on the Khmer Rouge or look at the Bolshevik Revolution and then all the people that Stalin killed and so forth. What we're dealing with, and I put out an article today, or actually it was yesterday, that if you want a surefire way of changing the outcome of an election, make the Democrats own their party platform. Clearly, when somebody says, I am signing up and I'm registering to file as a Democrat, you have to accept that party platform. If they say, oh, well, that's a national thing, it doesn't affect me because I'm only doing local stuff, that is not true. Don't let them obfuscate the reality. The reality is that the Agenda 21 and the 2030 issues that are coming down to take away your property rights and all of those things are the communist policies that are being trickled down to our lowest level. That's why you're finding states left and right literally being taken, your water rights being taken away. It's happened in California, Washington. It will happen in every state that you will no longer be able to get a well. They're passing ex post facto laws and literally taking away our property rights. And so don't let a Democrat try to obfuscate the reality. The real truth is that they're supporting the communist agenda lockstep, period. And that there is no way that they deserve a vote. And as a matter of fact, you got to make them own that platform and say, look, you know, as far as we're concerned, you just want to take from those who have and give to those who have not. You are literally communist. Call them out, go read that platform, and then you tell me otherwise, and then make them own it. That is how you change that. So let me jump into, because I've got about 4 minutes, and I'm going to jump into the Federalist Paper number 49. This is the least understood Federalist Paper that I have found, because most people do not understand how it got injected. There is no sign of this Federalist Paper before or after or I should say any links to this. And as you notice, it starts off, and let me give you the title because the title is very revealing. Method of guarding against encroachments of any one department of government by appealing to the people through a convention. Now, you would think with that word convention that the Article 5 folks would be just jumping on this and saying, yes, this is what, here they are calling for a convention. If you read through this Federalist paper, as we will, you will find that there is not one call for an Article 5 application from the states for the states to amend the Constitution. So what is this convention? Well, they used conventions for everything. As a matter of fact, when it came about noon, they'd have a convention to decide what they're going to have for lunch. So they literally had a representative government, and they had people that were literally convening conventions to discuss anything and everything, because they didn't believe. And the difference between a democracy and a representative government is we literally vote for somebody to make those decisions for us. Anybody that supports initiatives and direct democracy in voting for this and voting for that to approve a tax. In California, there's a bill that most people are being duped into thinking, yeah, well, let's do this. Technically, it is a good bill because it undoes the taxes, but it forces all taxes to be voted on by the general population, thus killing a representative government. If you understand the difference, there may be something good about that, but I'm telling you that a direct democracy is really the beginning of despotism and or anarchy, because as the framers saw it, it teetered back and forth between anarchy and despotism, anarchy and despotism. Anyway, this whole Federalist paper starts off with this. The author on the notes of the state of Virginia, and that's quoted because that is a book. And the author that he's talking about, this is James Madison, he's talking about Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the book Notes on the State of Virginia. And then he says, quoted in the last paper. Well, what was that last paper? It wasn't a Federalist paper. This is his response to an anti-Federalist paper, because the anti-Federalists brought up Jefferson's notion and concept of using conventions in dealing with encroachments, but not Article 5 conventions. These were conventions of enforcing the Constitution. Technically, if you look at Republic Review, it's not a convention where we all dissent. It is a coalescing of the states enforcing the contract. That's exactly what this is talking about. But back in those days, they didn't have the technology of telecommuting and communicating, from a distance. So they had to coalesce with delegates into a convention. We don't need a convention. We do not need to have everybody go into a single meeting point or meeting place. That's why this Federalist paper is so instrumental in really understanding what Jefferson and Madison were doing in 1798. That's why we're going to get into this, obviously, next week. And I will try to provide you with more analysis on this and less news next week when we get into this. So God bless. I'm G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help. So please be back, and we will have more Federalist Papers next week. God bless. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.